It's God first, other second, yourself third. The unique and cool thing about it is if you have that perspective, it comes back around to benefit you.
Cats have it! I'm a national champ! I'm a national champ! I'm a national champ! Unbelievable!
Iwu Hoops presents The Pursuit. Go inside the locker room as Iwu Hoops trades the pursuit of me for the pursuit of three.
Welcome to Season 6, Episode 3 of the Pursuit Podcast, where we go inside the locker room of Indiana Wesleyan men's basketball. In this episode, we are going to talk about Coach Tonegal hitting his 500th win and also tell about the stories of two players that are coming back, Cademan Bontrager and Javen Buchanan, and then we're going to tie it all together by the role that Coach Tonegal has played in each of their stories. My name is Griffin Cleaver, and I'm joined alongside Nolan Mader.
What up, guys?
Cademan Bontrager.
What's up, guys?
Cademan, what year are you?
I'm a redshirt freshman. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Second year with the team, so I've enjoyed every single bit of it.
And joined alongside Javen Buchanan as well.
Yes, sir. Sophomore year. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. All right, so taking you guys back, we're four games into the season currently, but we're going to go back to the first weekend of games when Coach Tonegal hit win number 500.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had no idea about his 500th win throughout the whole summer, and then I think I finally realized it, like, when we got to the locker room to prepare for the warm-up, somebody told me, like, if we win today, this is his 500th win. I was like, what? Like, he's going to be the youngest coach ever to reach 500 wins, and nobody said a word about it. And I think that speaks to Coach T, who he is. Like, he doesn't ever talk about that kind of thing. But now going back to that, like, obviously, for me, it added a little bit of pressure for the game. I was like, dang, like, if I would have known this last year, I feel like I would have played a little bit harder or something. Yeah. And then, obviously, in the Indiana Tech, we didn't get the job done. So after that, it was kind of like, dang, like, we have a quick turnaround now. Like, we got to get his 500th win, like, as soon as possible. Because no matter what, like, everybody was thinking about it.
Yeah.
So we all know what happened. Cornerstone game. That was a very fun game in the locker room. And then, like, you guys want to talk about.
Yeah. I just say it speaks to the person that Coach T is. You know, like Javen said, he's just really humble. And then leading up to that game, you know, obviously I had no idea either. He was, for the players, just more focused on, like, fighting, and finding the will to fight, and then just focused on that weekend going 2-0. You know, obviously we split and went 1-1, but I think really he was just more locked in on us, invested in us and himself and, like, the 500th win. So I thought that was really cool just to see that. And, I mean, it just it made me feel good to know that I'm playing for a coach like that.
Going off of that, like, when we actually did win and we were, like, threw water on him and all that, and we're like, speech, speech, speech. And he's like, I don't got nothing to say. I'm only worried about number four. I was just like, bro, that just shook me, like, because he really did not care about it. We cared more than he cared. And obviously, for those that don't know, number four, he meant getting his fourth national championship. So, yeah, I just think that speaks to the humbleness he has for himself and for his program.
Yeah, I remember sitting in the locker room and Coach Clark came in and we all had that, like, little smirk on our face. And I remember I was just looking down at my feet, like, legs were, like, bouncing, and I was just, like, trying not to laugh because Coach T was just trying to play it off. And he was like, yeah, these schools, you know, their schedules, like, aren't that tough. We're starting out tough for a reason. He's just like this normal post-game speech. And then Coach Clark steps in there and he's like, you know, the box score never lies. And he's like, looks at the paper thinking he's going to shout some dude out. And he's like, Coach Tonegal is the quickest coach to 500 wins ever. And then we all just went crazy and celebrated that way, which was such a fun moment. Nolan, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
I think the thing that I took away that I remembered most about that was when he said four instead of caring really that much about the 500. But he said something slight right after that, and he said, I want to do it for you guys. I don't want to do it for myself. I want to get that fourth national championship for you guys. And I know he's experienced three so far, but none of us on this team have experienced a national championship. And for him to say that and be that much invested into this team to get that national championship and experience that together, that just – shows a whole lot about the coach he is and the guy he is.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast, and it was the small college basketball, and Coach T was on it. Coach T was talking about how he would be a fool to think, like, if he went anywhere else, like, he could do what he's done here. And he is just always accrediting just the people around him. I mean, Coach Clark came in with him pretty much at the same time. And, like, Coach T is not who he is without Coach Clark. And he mentioned the administration and just the school, all these people that come together to make a program what it is. And I think that was so cool to hear. In that moment, it can be so easy to just take all of that recognition on yourself and sit in that moment. But it was cool how he deflected that into just other people and giving them credit. So now, we're just known for being a program of stories. I remember coming in and all you hear is just stories of different guys that you've never even met. And so we just want to keep telling the stories of guys and the life change going on in the locker room. So that's why Kamen Bontrager and Javen Buchanan are here with us today. First, I don't know if, Javen, you want to share a little bit about your story of just growing up and how you got here, and yeah.
Yeah, so coming to IWU was obviously not, I wouldn't say it was in my plans my whole life. Growing up where I did grow up in Lafayette is like it's a secular environment. And that's all I was used to. So, you know, the secular environment's all Division I or bust. So I kind of had that mindset my whole life. And then my senior year, I started getting recruited for basketball, and it was kind of late. And Coach T reached out to me. Coach Clark reached out to me, and Coach Osborne ended up reaching out to me. We miss you, Dio, if you're listening. but... No, so I got recruited late, and I had a couple offers from other schools, and the other schools just were kind of like pushy and wanted me to commit really fast. But here, it was kind of the total opposite, and I was kind of drawn to that, and that came on my open gym visit here. And then once I, like, visited this place, talked to the coaches, like, talked to all the players and experienced IWU, it was really just solidified that I really wanted to come here off of that one open gym. And it was mostly just because the culture. Like, I know it's kind of cliche to say, because I feel like everyone says that, but the culture here really is different, and you don't really know until you're in it. It may not have all the perks of, like, a big Division I per se, but if you're looking for a place to really grow your faith and a place to really grow some relationships, I think it's an amazing place for any young college athlete to start. And especially you get to pursue excellence on the court. And that's, like, I know me, I want to play a pro. So, like, you can go pro out of NAI school. Like, it doesn't have to be out of a Division I school or a Division II school. Like, you can go pro anywhere if you really want to play. And pursuing excellence here was very important to me. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was kind of my story. And I know Cade kind of has, like, the same kind of story coming from, like, a secular environment and stuff like that. So I don't know if you want to speak on that.
Yeah. So it started really, my recruiting started for me about the same time, my senior year. You know, I was at a secular high school as well. I'd say going into recruiting, there's just a lot of different schools, you know, different conferences and, you know, divisions too, NCAA, D1, D2, NAIA, D3. But I'd say, for me, I just wanted a place where I could feel at home and, you know, just grow. And I think, you know, with my parents as well, like, all the visits we take, we just, you know, that we never really, like, could agree on a certain school, you know, come together and say, hey, like, I really like this school. So, you know, it was getting close to the end of my senior year, probably about the halfway point, and I had just had no idea where I wanted to go. There was a school I thought for sure I was going to go to and I was about to commit to. And then, you know, Coach Clark, he sent me a text because I finished my senior year at his alma mater high school, Leo High School. So he knew the coaches there and we were just talking. And I just told him, like, hey, you know, I'm probably going to commit soon to this school. So I'm not necessarily interested. He texted me back. He said, okay, well, you know, we just want to talk to you still. So if it doesn't work out with the other school, let me know. But it just ended up with the other school. It didn't work out. It just, you know, I didn't hear back from any of the coaches. You know, I was sort of bummed, but, you know, in a way I was just, I felt that like it was going to lead down another path and I was going to, make a better decision out of this. And eventually I set up a visit, with Coach Clark and Coach Tonegal. We ended up talking and, the visit I went on was great. It was short and sweet. And then, on the way home, I think like, you know, before my parents could and I couldn't, three of us just agree on a school. But I think on the ride home that day, like that was the first time we had just immediately, like right away said, wow, like, yeah, this is it. This is the place. And so, you know, I think a visit was on a Monday or a Tuesday. And I think that Wednesday I committed. So that's just my story and my recruiting with Coach D and Coach Clark.
So I know just your stories of getting here is pretty awesome, and I think it's so cool to see how each guy's story is so different, but the Lord works in his own ways. So just talking faith now, maybe explain a little bit of where you were coming in and where you're at now. I know a big thing in our program that we say is we give the image of this line, and we say identify where you're at in the line, and as long as you're hungry to grow and you're honest where you're at, we'll work with you. It doesn't matter where you're at. As long as you're hungry and willing to grow, our program has proven to do a lot with men like that. So if you guys want to share a little bit about how that plays into your stories.
Yeah, I think it played a major role in my story, but I don't think I really realized it until kind of got deep into my freshman year. Well, more like the summer. 'Cause when I came here, I really had no background of knowledge of who Jesus was. Just honestly, I mean, I believed in God my whole life, but I mean, I never really went to church. I never really got in the word. But it was just like kind of a shell shock to me when I first got here. Mm-hmm. In a good way though. So, and like how you mentioned, like meet you where you're at. Like I never felt one, speck of judgment for where I was at. Like everybody on the team accepted me where exactly I was, and nobody was judging me just because I didn't know. And that really like stuck with me that like, okay, like I can come here and they're not going to push it on me, like, but they're going to leave the door open and they're going to kind of push me towards it. So that really helped me when I got here, just having guys on the team that were like pushing me towards the door of like knowing Christ, but not like forcing it on me, if that makes sense. And it's become a like a pillar of my life now, and I'm not perfect in it, and I'm still very fresh in it. But yeah, and obviously you guys know, but they don't know. In the Dominican Republic, we had like this draw line in the sand moment, and then me and Noah tossed the sand over and basically gave our lives to Christ that day. So that was a big day for me. But that was just the very beginning of it, because I really didn't know who he was still at that moment. And I still really struggle with it at times, and I know all of us in this room do. But yeah, so I think here it's been a very good experience with that.
I would say for me, my first year here, freshman year, I really didn't necessarily know where I was at on that line, and I just was, you know, I just wasn't really aware of where I was at. And then, you know, heading into this summer, I would say I just felt, you know, several convictions of my faith and like where I was at and where I like want to be. And I sort of like just brushed it off and pushed it off and not really thought about it much. And then, but it just kept coming back and, you know, hitting me. And so I'd say like finally, like heading into the school year, you know, first week of workouts, I'd say, we had a team meeting, and it was led by the captains, Alex Stauffer and Noah Smith. And they sort of came in and they started talking, you know, about how, like, we need to, you know, uphold, you know, the legacy and the culture of this program. And I felt like that, you know, that just, you know, sort of accountability and, you know, talking with guys like, hey, our motto is I am third. You know, we need to uphold that. You know, I sort of just felt that conviction, like, again, you know, in, like, through another teammate. And I was like, you know, it really just made me feel like, wow, like I need to talk to somebody. You know, this is serious. So I talked to Nolan Mader. We talked a little bit, or for quite a while actually. you know, before a workout. And, you know, I just felt myself realize, like, hey, I need to reaffirm or recommit my life to give it to Christ and, you know, lay down my burdens to him. And so I'd say, like, you know, after that, you know, it was a powerful moment for me. After that, I'd say, like, I just felt this sort of, like, freedom. You know, I just felt free. And, you know, I go back and I start to think, like, you know, maybe, like, that's the reason, you know, I came here, just for that single moment. And I know Mater can speak on this, too, about, you know, just sharing the gospel and sharing the faith with, you know, other teammates as well.
I would just say that was probably one of my favorite moments in my time here at IWU, being with Cade. We were just randomly in the top of the rec, sitting down, and it was really neat because backstory on Cade, Cade's a guy who's very shy, isn't very outgoing. He's a funny dude if you get to know him, and a super genuine, like genuine and real from the get-go, and I could just definitely sense that in Cade. But you kind of got to get him going because he's a shy guy and doesn't show much emotion. But, yeah, it was awesome. That moment was my favorite moment so far. Cade just randomly texted me after a volleyball game saying, hey, man, do you have a few moments to meet? And I was like, man, what do you think? What does Cade want at this late at hour? Like, he doesn't text me very often. But in that moment, man, it was just so real and so awesome. Cade just felt heavy-hearted. He said, man, I got this burden that I just can't get rid of, and I feel super convicted from that meeting. And Cade just went on and talking about how he just didn't feel free, and he felt like he was living kind of a fake Christianity and that he was really lukewarm in his faith. And it was just awesome how self-aware he was in that moment. And we actually got to say the salvation statement together out loud in that moment with nobody else in the rec, just me and Cade. And in that moment, man, I just felt the Spirit like no other. And I know Cade did too, because after that, Cade said, man, I feel so free. My burden has lifted. And he's like, if not a single other thing happens this year, I am complete. And in that moment, I'm like, man, this IWU Hoops thing is way bigger than basketball. Those are the moments that define a season. And I'm just, I appreciate Cade, and I appreciate his genuineness and his willingness to grow. And he's got a bright future ahead of him, living for Christ. So, yeah, bro.
Yeah, so to, like, tie it all together, I think we all are aware that this wouldn't be possible without the culture that Coach Tonegal has created and the staff around him. And so if you guys just want to share a little bit of just personally how Coach Tonegal has shaped your story, and it could maybe just be very vague about the program, but it could also just be maybe a specific story you have, because I think we all can attest that Coach Tonegal is a man of faith and someone worth following.
Coach T, man, I think we all can agree, he's just like a guy who just built different. Like,
yeah.
Simple as that. He's just wired differently in every way. I've had so many times where I would be, I don't know, like, not in a dark place, but, like, just not feeling good, or I'm just not, like, feeling best coming into practice or something, and Coach T will come up to me and be like, man, how's your day been, and how's everything back home, how's your mom doing, and just asking me about so many personal things, like, whether it's before practice, and I've never experienced that before from a coach, and that's probably the first thing I've noticed from him when I got here is, like, they care more about the person you become outside of the sport compared to who you are in the sport. No matter if you don't play any or you play 40 minutes a game. And that thing, that really stuck with me. And you notice it when you first get here. Like, he's genuinely like that. Like, how he recruits you is how he coaches you. And I don't think that's true in a lot of cultures we got today. Yeah, so I really just respect how genuinely he cares about his players. I know you guys all can agree with that. It's every day. Like, it, even if we have a bad loss, like, for me specifically, last year, we lost to, it was one of our big losses. What was a big loss? maybe after Grace or something like that, or at home the second time. And he has a great sense of knowing when people aren't feeling right or when the team's not right. And he just texted me like, yo, how are you doing? Is everything okay? And that just really like blew my mind, because as a player, when stuff goes wrong, like in my past, I've always automatically thought like, okay, coaches do not like me right now. They don't want to talk to me. They're mad at me. And with here, it's like the exact opposite. And that just speaks to the culture he's built here and how he lives it out like every day. It's just truly inspiring.
Yeah. For me, I think like the cool thing about all of this is, you know, just how he's just worked, you know, what he says, you know, from the moment you are a recruit and you decide to come here into like now. I'd say like the cool thing is like when I told Coach T like when he asked me, he's like, well, what do you want? Like he asked me questions, and I said, well, I just want to grow as a man. Like obviously, you know, the basketball, it'll come along, but I just want to grow as a man. And, you know, from the moment I feel like I said that and I committed to now, I feel like, you know, I've just seen that in little ways. For example, like this year, the theme has been fight. And I feel like I've seen him fight for me so much in practices and in games. And even just like in faith, like we did teams, I forget what they were called this summer. I am Third Circles teams, you know, this summer. So he's just always like checking in on us and like seeing like, hey, how are you doing with your faith? You know, how's, you know, basketball workouts going? And I think like that just, you know, really encouraged me to, you know, give my all and, you know, just keep fighting, because I know like if I'm fighting, or if he says that, I know he's fighting for me. And if, you know, if I'm fighting, then he knows we're fighting for him. And so I think that's just the cool thing about it. You know, I've grown from, you know, year one to year two. I feel like, you know, even over the summer and the off season, I feel like that, like he had a huge part in that. And just, you know, making sure that I'm staying on top of what I need to do.
Yeah, I can say a little bit about Coach T too, and just how he represents the kingdom, represents the I Am Third culture and just the team, and even how he's a family man. I mean, every area of his life is represented the same way, and it's for Christ first. And I picked up on that from day one, from when I was recruited during the COVID season to now when I'm a senior. So I respect Coach T with all of my heart. And from being a freshman, when I felt a little scared of his fight mentality and almost like I didn't want to step on toes, I can remember a lot of incidences with Coach T where I was like, oh, I gotta get away from this man. But now it's like a lot different. It's like off the court, I feel like I'm talking to, you know, a friend, a brother, but a coach. And then on the court, it's like this guy really wants to fight for us. He wants to make us better as men on and off the court. And yeah, I just appreciate Coach T, and I'm glad that he's getting the recognition for 500. I know he hates it, but he deserves all the recognition. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think all of those stories definitely represent Coach T, and I think people inside and outside the program are just able to see the life that he lives. So where we're at in the season right now, we are 3-1. We just came off a big road win against Olivet Nazarene. It was a top 15 matchup. And now we have a whole week pretty much to prepare for Rio Grande at home. And then we got two big conference games coming up here not too long after, before Thanksgiving. So thank you guys for joining for another episode of the Pursuit Podcast. And we hope that you continue to listen. And we'll talk again soon.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Pursuit. If you were challenged to grow from this podcast, please rate or review us on your podcast platform or share with those you know, as it helps multiply the impact. If you have a question you would like to ask IWU Hoops on a future episode, hashtag AskIWUHoops or email jeff.clark@indwes.edu. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Iwoo Hoops. Join us next time right here on The Pursuit. And remember, if you want to be first, first find a way to be third.